a devastating blow to the U.S. domestic economy with the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, which is stranding all the ships in the Baltimore port in the port area. They can no longer sail out to sea because the bridge has collapsed. It's a very long bridge. I forgot the entire length. It's maybe 1.7 miles or something like that. Of course, struck by this massive cargo ship, 100,000 tons or so is what I heard. And it appears that the ship lost power for a reason we don't yet know, and that then it lost control of its rudder, or perhaps it was intentional, we'll get to that, and it veered into one of the pillars, the support pylons, I guess you would call it, of the bridge itself, and struck that pillar and collapsed the entire bridge. Killing a number of people. We don't even know how many yet. So, of course, we pray for those people and their families. And, completely innocent people just driving across a bridge at 1:30 in the morning. And, boom, the whole thing collapses. There's some interesting tangential notes about all of this. Number one, I noticed that the locals in Baltimore, they don't even call it the Francis Scott Key Bridge because they don't even know who Francis Scott Key is. They don't even know anything about American history. They don't know the Star Spangled Banner. They don't know anything. All they know is they call it the Key Bridge, and that's how they get to work. So one of the silver linings of this otherwise horrible tragedy is that perhaps people might be reminded of who is Francis Scott Key and why the history of our country matters, because so many people died for the freedoms that we are losing every day now. I mean, the freedoms that our country enjoyed for so long that are being wiped away by the Democrats, including the same kind of people who run the city of Baltimore. So the fact that the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore has collapsed is beyond just symbolic, because freedom has collapsed in Baltimore. The very liberty that we sing about in the Star Spangled Banner has collapsed in Baltimore and in New York City and in Los Angeles, you know, Chicago, and on, all the blue cities have suffered a structural collapse of the infrastructure of freedom that it has now been sort of shown with the collapse of this physical bridge. That's what's happening to America. The rule of law is collapsing. The judicial system is collapsing. The currency is collapsing. And yes, now a major bridge collapses. Now, we've spoken before about the sabotage against the domestic infrastructure. So in some ways, we have to be suspicious of whether this could be sabotage. Now, what we do seem to know so far, but with the disclaimer that this is still kind of early, more information may yet emerge that will help answer questions. We know that the ship lost power. And it lost power, well, let's back up. We know that the ship was initially guided by tugboats, which is normal. The tugboats pull the ship into the proper lane. There's a shipping lane, kind of a sort of like a virtual highway in the water, where the ship is supposed to just cruise down that lane and not hit things, not hit bridges. So one question is, why did the tugboats let it go before it cleared the bridge? And the answer to that appears to be that the Biden administration has cut federal funding by 40% for the tugboat operations in the ports across the country. So we have unlimited money for Ukraine, unlimited billions for Israel, unlimited money for bombs and missiles, nothing for tugboats. Oh, nothing for tugboats. Good luck. Hope nothing goes wrong. You know, that's the attitude of the Biden administration. Nothing for our border, nothing for national security of the American southern border, but 100 plus billion for Ukraine and other countries. So, you know, once again, showing what happens when you don't invest anything in your own country and you just send all your money overseas. This is what happens. So tugboats should obviously guide the ships until they clear the bridges. especially when the bridge isn't even that far away from the port. I mean, it's right there. It's like, you know, come on, stay connected for 6 more minutes and guide the thing so that it doesn't hit the bridge. Another question I have in all this is, was the ship pilot texting? Huh? Was he on his phone checking sports scores or something? Or answering social media while everything went haywire? Yeah, probably. Or was it a woke ship pilot, captain? I'm not sure what the proper term is. Was this a DEI thing? Was this a virtue signaling, you know, affirmative action hire of somebody who just checked off the right check boxes? Maybe it's a transgender boat captain or something. Maybe he's gay. Maybe it's a woman who's a lesbian and who has purple hair and a nose ring and doesn't know anything about piloting ships. I don't know. But we've seen so many examples of that in society lately that we have to automatically start to suspect that. Just look at what happened with Boeing. Look at the wheels falling off the passenger jets and parts falling off. And that's because Boeing went woke. And that's why nothing works anymore. And you see the same thing across many sectors of society. So that's an obvious question. I guess we'll have to see if the boat pilot is some woke hire. The next question is, or possibility is, well, could it be sabotage on the ship? Could there be a plan to take down the Baltimore Bridge? And the plan had the ship lose power while it was steered just perfectly right into the pylon, the support base. The ship clearly veered from its course. And ships of that size, it takes a lot of effort to change course, by the way. You know, a 100,000-ton ship doesn't just pivot on a dime. And I think it was traveling at something like 6 or 8 knots. You know, pretty decent pace for being that close to land, you know. So it was chugging along there, which is why the bridge didn't stop it when it collided. But how did it veer off course so much? Why, when it lost power, did it veer to the right? Why didn't it just keep going straight? Well, somebody obviously changed the rudder, it seems. Or you could argue, well, okay, so the main propeller of the ship is no longer functioning, so you don't have the torque from the propeller, which does alter the ship's course. So maybe without the propeller torque, it veered to the right. Perhaps. That is certainly a possibility, and I'm not an expert in, you know, maritime propulsion systems, so maybe somebody else could answer that question. Apparently the ship dropped anchor, is what I saw reported in some of the news coverage, which means that at some point the captain realized, hey, something's gone horribly wrong and we need to stop this thing. So it dropped anchor. The anchor did not stop the ship, as we now know. It may have slowed it down, but it did not do the job that it was intended to do, so the ship went ahead and slammed into it. Clearly there was a response delay of some kind on the ship. So yeah, the ship loses power. Captain's like, something's gone horribly wrong, you know, restart the dilithium crystals, Scotty. And Scotty's like, we're giving it all she's got, Captain. And it's still veering off course. Bad things happening. So did somebody sabotage the power on the ship? There's a question for you. Because, you know, if the power had been cut earlier or later, then it would not have hit the bridge, right? If the power had been cut, let's say 2 minutes earlier, then the anchor drop would have been more effective and most likely halted the ship. Now, that's an emergency maneuver for a ship, by the way. You're moving along at 7 or 8 knots and you just drop the anchor. You know, that's a desperate ploy. Like, something's gone horribly wrong. Or if the ship had, of course, cleared the bridge and then lost power, then it would have veered off into the water somewhere and not hit the bridge. So the timing of the power loss is suspicious. Now, I do want to be clear that based on what I saw so far, and some people in the media from law enforcement talking about, yeah, there's going to be an investigation, but so far we don't have any indication that this was deliberate. Okay, that's fine. Not yet, you know. Maybe you'll find that it's deliberate, or maybe you'll never know. Maybe this was a hack. Somebody hacked the ship's systems, perhaps. Or maybe this was an onboard saboteur who was paid to cut the power at just the right moment in order to cause this to happen. Who knows? We don't yet have the answers to that, but we know that America has a lot of enemies around the world. Because of, you know, well, U.S. imperialism and occupation of 100-plus countries with military bases, you know, providing bombs to Israel to bomb the Palestinians, pretty much pissing off all the Muslims in the world and most of the Arabs as well, and all the Persians. So there's a lot of people out there who probably came across the open border, and maybe they got jobs working on ships or something, you know. Your job is to haul in the ropes. I don't know. There's a lot of people who would want to do harm to America and who could have access to something like this. So keep that in mind. Sabotage is most definitely an explanation here that we should consider. And this immediately brings up, you know, some similarities with 9/11, where some terrorists got their hands on some airplanes and flew them into the Twin Towers. And then, of course, the deep state blew Building 7, which maybe they intended that one to be hit, and it wasn't hit, so they blew it up anyway with all the installed explosive charges installed in all the support pillars of Building 7. That's why Building 7 went down. Clearly a demolition job. But this seems like it could share a lot of similarities there. Maybe a terrorist, somebody who hates America, got control somehow or was able to sabotage this vessel, and then they use it to wreck a bridge. Okay, well, I'm sure law enforcement is going to look into that as a possibility. If this turns out to be just pure bad luck, coincidence, just very bad timing somehow, I would be amazed, because the sequence of events that had to take place to take down this bridge is very precise. Like I said, the electricity would have to be sabotaged on the ship or cut somehow. It would have to be done at a very narrow window of opportunity. Someone would have to have either knowledge of how the ship would veer off from that point, or they would have had to alter the rudder on purpose to push it into the pillar. And they would have had to make sure that the ship had enough speed and momentum in order to cause that damage. They would have had to have knowledge of the structural integrity of the Francis Scott Key Bridge itself. And by the way, these bridges, they are, you might wonder why it crumbled so quickly from an engineering perspective. These bridges are built to withstand downward force of a load on the deck of the bridge. But in terms of a lateral force, which is what this is, something pushing on the side of a bridge, well, bridges are a lot more fragile when it comes to lateral forces. So it doesn't take nearly as much force from the side to bring down a bridge as you might imagine. They're not made to survive, you know, collisions with 100,000-ton ships, actually. They're made to carry, you know, 100,000 pound trucks driving across them, but not 100,000 ton ships crashing into the side. But by the way, we also have to ask questions like, hey, was this ship captain vaccinated? Was this a died suddenly situation? Is this person on mass medication, antidepressant drugs or something? Because I see people driving on the roads all the time. They're veering off like crazy, just losing their minds. If that's happening on the waterways of America, well, guess what? There are going to be some bad accidents. So there's that question. We have a lot of questions. Now, I don't know the answers yet. I'm just raising a lot of questions here. To me, this really, this is highly suspicious of sabotage. It seems to me like if this is just a coincidence, just a bad series of events, I would not buy that explanation easily. Because it's too many coincidences stacked together, I think, for this to be sheer coincidence. But the bottom line for all of us is this is another reminder to be prepared. You could be driving across a bridge one day and the whole thing just collapses out from underneath you. That's not an easy situation to survive in the water. And if your vehicle plunges into the water, how do you get out of your vehicle? And are you a capable swimmer? You know, how much clothing do you have on that's going to weigh you down? What about the current of the river? Might sweep you away. Well, not the river in this case, I guess the bay, but there are tides and the tides go in and out. So, you know, wherever you are, readiness is absolutely critical. And then how would you call for help if you're in an isolated area? And now all kinds of people are going to be disrupted in their lives and their travel because of the collapse of that bridge. It's going to affect industry. It's going to affect deliveries. You know, things aren't going to be available. The supply chain is impacted. Some boats are stranded in the port there, the Baltimore port and harbor area. So there are a lot of impacts here that you might not think about right up front. It's just another reminder that anything can happen on any given day. And this might be the beginning of a wave of attacks on U.S. infrastructure. Remember what I said about the activation day, the purge day, that there would be teams that would be activated across America to do what? What did I say? They would set off bombs on bridges. They would attack railroads. They would attack ports. Remember that? I said they would attack refineries and water supplies and electrical substation to infrastructure. I don't know that this collapse of the bridge is related to that prediction, but I assure you that prediction will come true. This may be the beginning of it. There might be a lot more yet to come. So be on alert, everybody. Stay informed, stay aware, have backup comms. Satellite phone store, SAT123.com, gives you satellite phones that work even if the power grid goes down. You know, make sure you've got extra backup supplies of food, medicine, ammunition, currency, real money, gold and silver, you know, gold backs, things that you can use in an emergency to continue to stay alive. And be sure to visit healthrangerstore.com for backup supplies of storable food. Lab tested, certified organic, GMO free, mostly non-China, just maybe a few ingredients from China like goji berries. But check it all out, healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support. Stay safe, everybody. God bless you. Take care. Springtime is here, and we have special spring detox bundles now for you to help you save a bundle at healthrangerstore.com. And the first bundle that's in stock available right now, I've got it on my desk here. It's a combination of non-GMO vitamin C, N-acetylcysteine, our 5G defense product, which helps your body deal with, peroxynitrite production. That happens upon exposure to 5G radiation. We've got Turmeric Gold Plus, which has ginger and black pepper in it, as well as our nascent iodine. This all helps naturally support your body's natural detox capabilities. And if you bought these separately, they would be a lot more expensive than the special price that we have at healthrangerstore.com. Just go there and search for Spring Detox Support Bundle, and you'll see this bundle right here available at this special price, which is a significant discount off of purchasing these separately. We also have two other bundles available at healthrangerstore.com. The first is a nutrients blend bundle here that has the microalgae superfood blend here, along with our beet juice, again, all organic and all laboratory tested, along with our garden harvest blend. So this is a combination of fruits and vegetables loaded with phytonutrition, plus the microalgae that, again, available at a special price, a lot less expensive than buying them separately. And then we have one more bundle here, which is called the Super Greens Bundle. And this has our greens plus superfoods mix, our broccoli sprouts, and also our Radiance blend. Those three together, absolutely loaded with phytonutrition. Again, non-GMO, certified USDA organic, plus laboratory tested on top of that. Plus, of course, we do microbiology testing on all these products as well. We test for E. coli, salmonella, yeast and mold, total plate count, and we also do glyphosate testing. On top of that, we do more testing than anybody else in this industry on our entire product line. So if you get it at healthrangerstore.com, you can be sure it has been heavily scrutinized, even for heavy metals. So we test for lead, arsenic, cadmium, mercury, and other toxic elements as well,
making sure that you get the cleanest and most nutritive foods, superfoods, and supplements that are available anywhere in the world. So thank you for your support at healthrangerstore.com. Take advantage of these spring detox bundles. They're good only while supplies last or through the end of March 2024. And right now we've got supply of all of these. I don't know how long it will last. The supply chain is always a little dicey from time to time. At the moment, we're looking pretty good. So hopefully you can get your hands on these or as much as you need. Thank you for your support. HealthRangerStore.com. Take care.